So we're back with another episode, and we're actually syncing this up with a new movie that's coming out. This episode's going to drop February 14th, and a movie's coming out. It's the new Captain America, where we get to see Anthony Mackie as the Falcon actually be Captain America. They did do that in the series with, I think it was the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where he was kind of like trying to take up the mantle. But this is the first one where he actually is Captain America fully. I'm personally really looking forward to that film. I don't know if any of you guys are or not.
It's supposed to be a Valentine's Day movie.
I was going to be like, happy Valentine's Day. Right? Love you, Marcy.
Yeah, it's like, you want to go see Anthony Mackie, right? Right? Sure. See Captain America?
I still haven't seen Twisted Metal.
We're all
and that's got Anthony Mackie in it.
Yeah, I love that game as a kid.
I've heard it's actually good.
No, it's definitely good. It's not as crazy as you would think from playing the games, but it's still definitely
worth it. What character does he play? Axel?
In
Twisted Metal?
I actually don't know. I think he might be his
own
character.
I watched it when it first came out, so I don't remember either. Since that's not part of my prep for this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So we're already off track here. So here we go.
That was a deep cut. I was like, wait a second.
No,
definitely in there.
It was a Peacock series. It came out like, what, 2 years ago, something like that?
Twisted Metal?
Yeah.
That was like last year.
Was it 2024?
No.
It just 23.
It just feels
you have to remember, it's 2025 now.
That's true.
But it might have been 24. I don't know. Either way, regardless, with my excitement for that film coming, I'm actually going on the 15th. We're actually going to do an episode centered on black superheroes. I'm going to go ahead and start, but I wanted to talk about Bishop. He's a character that many, like myself, probably know originally from X-Men the Animated Series in the 90s. His first actual appearance was in November of 91 in Uncanny X-Men number 282. And essentially, his character from the comics, he was born roughly 80 years in the future of the current, like, you know, what the Marvel Cinematic timeline was at that time. Or I should say the Marvel comic timeline, so it's not confused with the movies. And he was born into a dystopian future where essentially mutants are kind of being eradicated. And that M on his face is actually how they brand mutants, so people know that this person is a mutant. So I grew up only knowing him with that, but pretty much all mutants in the future that had been captured had that branded on
their
face.
Is that by the Sentinel kind of?
It's the Sentinels don't do the branding, I don't think, but the Sentinels are actually involved with hunting them down. Okay. Like the Sentinels are
very much part of the eradication portion.
Very much so. To the point that there is actually like some groups of humans and mutants that have kind of teamed up and are like trying to fight back a bit. But he actually grew up in a concentration camp with his little sister. And the outfit he's in, that blue, yellow, and red, is because when he grew up, he essentially became like an officer. Like he was part of the military that was essentially trying to, you know, keep peace, obviously, and everything like that. But I do want to mention, there's a live action version of him as well, if you want to click on that other tab. In the X-Men Days of Future Past movie, he was played by Omar Sy. So they changed his powers up a little bit in this, and they didn't really touch much on who he was. Like, I got super excited when I saw him in the trailer. And here, like, he could get blasted with energy, and he then, like, funnels it through his gun and shoots it back at them. Whereas in the comics, like, yeah, he has a gun because he's part of the military, but that has nothing to do with his powers. When he would get blasted, yeah, he could, like, absorb all of that energy, and then he would just blast it back, essentially, from his hands at them. So there's been different iterations of him. The main one, though, I want to talk about is specifically from X-Men the Animated Series, because that's where I knew him from, and that's where I was first introduced to him. He's first brought in with the X-Men Days of Future Past storyline inside of the animated series, where he is essentially, I believe Forge helps him, sends him back in time to meet up with the X-Men and stop an assassination to try to stop his future time from happening in this whole dystopian era.
In the movies, they send...
Exactly. I was going to get that. Which is funny, because in the movies, Wolverine's an insanely popular character, and with Hugh Jackman playing him, that they actually send Wolverine's consciousness back in time to do it. So Bishop had nothing to do with it. So I was pretty upset when I saw the movie. It was still a good movie, don't get me wrong, but I was expecting Bishop. But funny enough, is in that, people who are fans of the comics of Days of Future Past were probably also upset with the animated series, because in that live-action movie, Kitty Pryde is sitting there, like, you know,
right,
holding him still, yeah, and like helping send him in the past, mm-hmm, to like like live in his older body and try to help take care of this. In the comics, Kitty Pryde sends herself back in time into her younger body, and she's the one that actually is part of the whole thing. So it's like every
so
time
so many
do
people
it,
go back in time.
Yeah, every time they do it, they change who's the one that goes to the past.
The one thing that goes like this, and it's like, I'm going back.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing that's consistent with anything comic related is inconsistency.
Yeah, exactly.
Even with comics, even among the same medium, it's like, right, we just got different worlds. You know, we'll just have them do this thing.
Parallel
or do that thing.
Worlds.
Parallel, yeah.
But
or we just changed writers.
Yeah, right. Well, I really like this character, so we're going to revamp how they
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
But no, like I said, I know him from the animated series. He was the one that came back time, and he actually, after he helped stop the assassination, he goes back in the future, and then he ends up coming back several different times to kind of help the X-Men do stuff.
Is that wait, okay, so going back in time, is that one of his powers, or
it's not, no, it's not a power, they use like a time travel machine for him to do it.
He just has some sort of ability, but like is his powers like kinetic, like where he takes force against him and then transfers that force back through
essentially
his gun?
Energy absorption and stuff like that.
Okay,
but
okay,
depending on, there's been different iterations and people who have like added and changed powers. That energy absorption is always really a thing, but there's other things that have come up where like he somehow has the ability to always know what place and time he is in, what version of reality and everything like that. Like, some people have done that with his character too. I don't know that from the animated series, but I have seen that referenced in some of his comic abilities and stuff. But that's why he's actually in the, I don't know if you don't watch the X-Men 97 cartoon on Disney Plus when it came out.
I've seen it.
It was amazing. I loved it.
Agreed.
But that's why he's in that show too, because technically in the comics, when he comes back in time, he eventually just stays in our time and becomes a member of the X-Men. So they actually kind of incorporated that bit in X-Men 97 and had him there. But what's really cool, I thought, is there's a comic series called Age of Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And essentially what happens is Charles Xavier's, I believe it's his son, and his name is Legion, and he goes back in time essentially to kill Magneto to stop this whole war between Magneto and Xavier from ever happening. Xavier, like, essentially does the whole, like, oh, no, like, jump in the way kind of stuff, and Legion killed his own dad. And so that royally messed up the timeline and started the Age of Apocalypse timeline, where Magneto never, you know, started the Brotherhood of Mutants or anything like that. He actually, to honor his fallen friend, starts the X-Men in his honor. And
wait, Magneto?
Yes, Magneto does.
Okay.
And Apocalypse, like, becomes this big baddie that they're trying to stop. And people who have seen Deadpool and Wolverine, there's one of the versions of Wolverine when Deadpool's like jumping around trying to find a Wolverine to save his you know, stuff in the movie, save his timeline. There's a Wolverine that has like a stump, metal stump for a hand, and he has the really wild hair and everything like that. He's sitting like a burning car and everything, and he just starts beating the shit out of Deadpool. That's the Wolverine from Age of Apocalypse. Mm. And the whole reason Age of Apocalypse, like, the timeline gets saved is because Bishop was there when Legion did this, and because of his like mental awareness, when the whole timeline shifted, he could still remember how time was supposed to be. And Magneto had somebody, I don't remember who, but essentially read his mind, see what the timeline was supposed to be, and that's how they knew to go and fix it and everything and reset it. But essentially, because of his time traveling, he's like pretty important when it comes to keeping the quote-unquote main timeline running, because of how many times he's been sent back to fix things. Mm. This was,
so he's like the plumber for
the
mutants, basically. The X-Men timeline.
Well, this timeline's gone down the shitter, so let's Yep. Me and my handy plunger here.
Yeah, but this was like the first like African-American like black superhero that I was exposed to as a really young kid. And I just fell in love with this character. And I've loved it ever since. Which is why when I saw it was going to be in Days of Future Past, I was like, yes! And then I saw it and I was like, fuck. Not that Omar Sy didn't do fine with the part, but they didn't give him much to do with it. So, but yeah. No, I think Bishop is very cool and very much deserves some love in the movies.
That's fair. So, is the coolest thing that he did was during Age of Apocalypse and fixed the timeline where Legion killed Xavier, or did he actually fix it?
Well, I mean,
I'm trying to figure out, since I don't have a lot of experience with the character. All I know is that people love Bishop.
Yeah.
I know almost nothing about him, so I'm trying to figure out, like, going, is he actually cool? Because nobody wants to seem to bring him back for anything, or much of anything.
I think it's maybe in the live action, maybe they don't know what to do with him. To really see the love for Bishop, you have to watch the animated series to see... You know him, unless you're wanting to do the comics. Obviously.
They also haven't
the comics. Like, yeah, I would definitely read Age of Apocalypse.
They also have him for the movies. They haven't really gotten to do much with X-Men for years, either. Yeah. So yeah. There is that, and he probably would be next up on the list of like, hey, we can tap into that.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think they absolutely should, because, I mean, just the whole idea of like growing up at a concentration camp, becoming essentially a cop, and then becoming this very important figure.
Did he have to break out of the concentration camp? Like, was that like
that part? I honestly don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just knew he grew up in one.
Okay.
But no, I think he's very cool. I mean, even just that image alone is badass.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Makes him look cool. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, Bishop. That's my character. I think he's awesome.
All right. Well, I'll go next. So I want to bring up Cyborg from the Teen Titans. But I just want to give the caveat of the specific Cyborg I want to talk about is the one from the animated series.
Teen Titans Go?
No! Not that one. Actually, to be honest, though, I still like Teen Titans Go, too. They did seem to kind of get rid of the whole... more adult themes in that one and the overarching story that they kind of had going on. But I think, you know, the characters were still cool in that one. Anyway.
The chibi characters.
Yeah, the chibi characters. The design was...
So is it wrong? The extent of my Cyborg knowledge comes from the show Smallville and the latest DC movies?
DC movies.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works for you. I mean, he's generally the same in all of these, but I think just... he worked out so well for this show. I think it ran from like 2003 to 2006 or something. It actually wasn't all that long that it was on air. But for me, when I was, I guess, in middle school, high school during that time. Yeah, high school during that time. It was really just it attracted me for sure. And the character of Cyborg was also just really interesting to me. I seem to prefer for superheroes, I seem to prefer like the more grounded and realistic, like, oh, this probably could happen maybe sometime in the future to somebody. So like
Less superpowers, random, more like science.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like no random superpowers, more like science or just, you know,
man combined with machines. Well, yeah. Sort of like,
what,
you know.
What is he still? So in the, I also know him only through the movies.
Yeah. Like, so
clearly, is he made from the mother box kind of thing, or is he made from a different thing in this?
So as far as the show goes, I don't know. To be honest, but I know,
I
say, like,
I don't believe this history really has anything to do with the mother box except for I could be wrong though.
How was Babby formed?
So he apparently there's a very tragic story to his origin, and I wouldn't be able to be an expert on like exactly what happened, but it involves him almost dying and his dad being the one to give him this half robot body to bring him back to life, but he did so without his consent. So he wakes up after becoming Cyborg, and he immediately is like, what the heck's going on? You know, he hates his dad for it, he hates the world for it, And over time, he comes to like accept his new body and see how it can actually be a force of good.
The later movies actually cover all that.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. I mean,
so I'm actually familiar with all that.
I actually don't.
I never
know much
did get
about
to see
it.
Teen Titans. I know of them, but my knowledge is limited to those movies. And that's exactly the backstory that they have. I'm sure the particulars are different, but
yeah. Or, well, and like I said, I don't know if they ever cover any of that in the show. I don't think I've ever seen the animated series, you know, from front to back. But I watched a lot of it, and it was always entertaining, especially Cyborg's character. I really connected with him, you know, being a tech guy myself. And he, in the show, is like the person that they always go to when they need something hacked or they need something, you know, technology-focused or whatever. So that really resonated with me. But just a quick list of like his.
Were you also angry with your dad all the time?
Yes, I was angry with my dad all the time.
Perfect.
But did he say in your life?
Are we gonna get into that? Probably should.
This episode took a big downturn.
Let's not.
No. Okay. So a quick list of his quote unquote superpowers, because they're not really superpowers; they're more like enhancements. He has superhuman strength. Obviously, come on. I mean, duh. He has integrated weaponry, like you can see in the picture up there. He has like an energy beam, but like, I swear, I'm trying to reach back in my past, but I swear there was times when just like random stuff could come out of him. You're like, I didn't know he had rockets, or I didn't know he could do this. And it's just like for the episode,
whip
they decided
like
that
like a paint gun and paint a house, yeah, or something like that,
like,
or
like Inspector Gadget,
or like
kind of stuff.
Like Green Lantern, except yeah. for it's like nano machines.
Yeah,
son.
Exactly. he also, like I was talking about,
I just suddenly thought, go Gadget waffle maker for some stupid reason. Go.
I don't know
Dude,
if he ever got out waffle maker.
I don't know, but I was like waffle.
Yeah. Technological interface, obviously, like I was saying, he could basically talk to computers. Flight and mobility, basically he could have rocket boosters and whatnot and kind of fly / get around due to that, as well as, you know, data analysis and just general tech stuff, you know, super more like computer like calculation abilities and stuff like that.
So that's like anything our technology can do, he can do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's half a computer.
Right. But you don't have to carry a phone with you to do it. You know, it's just, you know, part of him. Maybe that one's not so cool, but, you know, come on. He's
well,
got
no,
all
I mean,
those.
Like, he can drive, he can like a car, he can fly like a plane, he can like shoot missiles like a missile.
He's a Swiss Army knife of a person. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that really I really enjoyed about his character is he was a big part of the humor of the show. And so a lot of like the hijinks that would go on would involve him. And he was just like almost like this in-between character between someone like Raven, who was always serious all the time, and Starfire, who was just aloof and like completely innocent. He was like the middle ground between them, which I thought was kind of cool. But also he was like, for some reason, he was always hungry. So anytime food came up, he like devoured it and stuff like that. And that was always some physical
all that
comedy.
Computing power needs energy.
That was, yeah. That was his anime trait.
Yeah. That was his anime trait. Yeah. Yeah. So his humor in the show was really what, made me keep watching episode after episode after episode. But then also like, there's this whole element to him about like, am I robot? Am I human? What am I? And like, you see the development throughout the show where you see how human he is and how beneficial he is to the team and to the world. And I really, you know, respect him for that character growth that he goes through.
I'm now curious, who was created first, Cyborg or RoboCop?
I don't know.
The themes are very similar for that.
I will say I did a little research for this episode, and there was a specific character that he was based off, at least as far as the design goes, and it was actually some villain. I can't remember what his name was. But I don't remember RoboCop ever coming up during
Wait, villain in what?
Like in a movie?
No, I meant like the theme of like, am I man? Am I machine? And the struggle there. Talking about. Like not, nothing about the design or his look or anything, how he acts, but just that central theme.
So, I mean, I will also say like he's a really big character in DC comics in general. I don't know how far back he goes, but I think he goes pretty far back. So I don't, I would think probably before RoboCop, but someone out there check me on that.
Yeah, it's like, it doesn't really matter because that's like, that's a pretty common.
RoboCop's like, what, 87 or something? 87
is when it came out, so it's been a while.
Yeah, nothing much else to say about that, but what do y'all think?
He looks kind of a little old.
Should we save our thoughts?
Well, he's a teenager. He's from the Teen Titans.
He looks like the oldest of all the teens.
Yes, he does. He does look like... I don't know if he actually is.
Save our thoughts, though, until we're voting.
Well, no, I'm not telling you to judge him. Just comment on him. Yeah.
Like, I'm saying, my knowledge of him is very limited. Just because, like I said, I know of him on Smallville. I read a bit about his background, like, when he was on Smallville. And I've seen him in the latest movies. I did not watch Teen Titans or Teen Titans Go or any other Titans anything. Well, I can't say nothing. I watched like the first two seasons of Titans, which was that like that live action show.
Oh, I heard that was actually decent.
It wasn't bad.
I've not heard of that before.
I wouldn't call it great because I had to go back to and watch the last.
Well, I remember watching the trailer thinking that was going to be horrible, but then like I read like, oh, like it's actually pretty decent, and I was like, all right, maybe I'll watch that. It wasn't bad. Never did.
I didn't love who was playing Robin, Nightwing, whatever, but you know that was just I didn't like.
It looked a little edgy, a little edgelord.
For me, it's too dark and brooding. But
yeah, for me, it's I remember bits and pieces of this, and then it was Cyborg in the latest movies that were, and then there was the director's cut that came out where he had even more of a role and a proper, like he's a football kid, and then like you know his dad remakes him. It's a Pinocchio story or what is it? Kind of, and he's like, am I a real boy or not? Kind of, like you know, the old. The tragedy versus what it is. And he's kind of like the brooding guy who's watching everyone talk and he knows everything. It's like Batman and Wonder Woman, I think, are talking. And then you just there's just suddenly a shot of just like Cyborg's listening the whole time.
And you goes away. In this show, there wasn't much brooding.
Yeah. I mean, it was Teen Titans, so they've put a very...
It was
it's
very much
fun. Kids show, so they probably don't go too dark.
It was very much... Yeah. Leaning heavily on the comedy as far as this show goes, but one thing I want to say also about him is he's just a very well-rounded character, right? He's got realistic superpowers. He has a wide...
I know I pull a gun out of my fist all the time,
dude. I'd love to be.
I know what you mean by science based instead of powers.
I would love to be Mega Man.
This guy, man.
Yeah.
Every episode, yes. No. Very well-rounded character, and I really enjoyed what he did in that show, and I just like him.
How high did the stakes get in the show?
Oh, they get really high, especially in this one. There is a real like story arc to it that involves very serious tones, and in you know back then in the 90s/2000s, that's what cartoons were. They were for kids, but they also had this like...
Oh, the Batman influence.
Yeah,
thing.
Like
the real dark Batman.
Oh, exactly.
Batman animated series.
Yeah.
Love that show.
Yeah.
All right. Andy, you want to go talk about yours?
All right. Pull up that beautiful face. Come on. Pull up that beautiful face. Look at that. Let's look at him.
Mr. Wesley Snipes.
Look at those glasses, man.
Just look at him. He was made for this role. I think this picture... Just us finding this captures both what's great about that movie and what's goofy as hell about it. Like, why is he's like brooding and like really like, And then suddenly he shoots a guy and nails him to the wall and he just goes like, And you're like, what? And then he's like stands up and everyone circles around him and then he goes like, hey. And you're why is he doing that smile?
He's really enjoying his work, and he doesn't have anybody else to relate to. So he's just like, all right, I'm just gonna smile when I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
So this came out 98. So around this time,
was it really about that? I thought it was earlier 90s in that.
Around this time, Marvel's at in dumps. Like superhero movies are like working, not working. Batman's been the only one that's like really successfully been made, and like, you know, what?
Superman, hello.
Yeah, no, I said DC. Well, there was no Superman in that period. It was Batman for a while. We didn't get Superman. I mean,
well, Superman ruled.
Tim Burton,
the 70s
after Batman, was trying to make a Nicolas Cage Superman, which like. Horrible idea. Got shelved, but you can still find footage of it.
They put him in the latest. It was like the Flash movie. Too.
Yeah. To show like there was that version of him. So he gets sold for the rights for Blade for like $75,000. That's it. That was it to like buy the movie rights.
Nobody knew who Blade was back then.
Yeah, one knew.
Even a lot of comic book collectors and stuff like that. It wasn't like the
he was in Spider-Man the animated series.
And they bring in David S. Goyer, if you remember him, the author, like the guy who wrote Dark Knight, who made the Superman of Steel, and like so that dark DC version sets later on. He's the one who wrote those things. So this is like his first entry into like superhero movies. At one point, David Fincher also was working on the script, helping with it. And then finally, they find Wesley Snipes. They're going to make this movie. I think with the budget of like $40 million something. They make $170 something million. So they make a buttload of money. It's a big success, this movie, back in his time. So
yeah, I can't imagine the budget was huge.
Yeah, quick run through on what's the story. There are vampires that exist who are just nighttime.
And not the stupid sparkly kind.
No. though there's a sparkly scene, and I'll talk about it. So Blade's mom gets bitten as she's pregnant, and so Blade is born with vampire powers, but he can go out in sunlight.
Daywalker.
What do they call them? Well, yeah, Daywalkers.
The Daywalkers here. So it's just a very cool name for him.
I call my cats that never sleep Daywalkers. Yeah.
And the reason was because he wasn't actually the one bitten.
His mom transferred.
Right.
And so.
And he's the only one in the world that like went through that?
Like, yeah, it's like the Harry Potter Avada Kedavra. This is where she got it from.
Okay.
The mom protects it, and so the mom's spell got added in. So there was a mix of genes, and he survives. The mother's a whole another character later on. So the mom dies. That's what he thinks. More on that later. And he's just like, now I'm just going to kill the vampires now because they did this to me. So he just ages slowly. Vampires don't really age at all, or much slower than him. He still has the superpowers of them. So the movie just starts with like this night rave where this homeless guys kind of, or just this guy was brought in by a female, attractive female. So he's like, hey, this is great. And then the blood starts raining. And then
the club scene.
And everyone's got like, it's literally starts with like Darude Sandstorm kind of. And he's like running and crawling out. And then he comes to the legs of Blade, who comes in. And it's like it's open season on suckheads. It's like they're bam, bam, bam.
Suckheads?
Yeah.
He just kills.
There's a lot of one-liners in that movie.
He just kills everyone. It's an amazing introduction. He's got this Matrix suit before Matrix, like this long trench coat, black, leathery thing.
This must have influenced Matrix in some way with how close the movies
were. I think
they
were kind of already written.
They came
most
out
of it.
Very close to the same
time. Yeah, 99, 98. So yeah, like it was very close to it. So, all that happens is there's this one guy, I'll say Deacon Frost, the villain's name, amazing name. So his backstory is actually really good. He's not a pure blood. He was a converted vampire. He wasn't born a vampire. So the high power of the vampires hate him. And he's kind of like, we should be ruling this world and turning everyone into vampires. So his backstory is actually really good. The lore is really good, that there's this ancient vampire council and all this is going on. So it's basically the Deacon Frost guy trying to invoke some ancient ritual, and they need Blade's blood for him. So that's why he's always hunting him, saying, "I need him alive." And he wants to use that to bring out something that's going to convert everyone into vampires, which is like, so then who are you going to eat if everyone's a vampire? Maybe just animals?
Wait. Mm-hmm. So vampires can't subsist off of vampire blood?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably not.
Never that I've seen in any of the iterations of vampires. Now, some of them can survive off of not human blood.
Like animals, yeah.
Yeah, which is pretty common. So
they'll have animals. There you go.
Yeah. There's like he wants to convert, or there's a point where it's like just maybe he just gets more power so he can rule the world. And humans are just cattle, and vampires are the real rulers, but like they're night people anyway. So what happens is Blade does some cool killing where he tries to kill one of these vampires, but he doesn't because he's like, "I'm bored of shooting you." And then he uses incendiary rounds on him and burns that vampire up. So the vampire doesn't die. He goes to the mortuary, and then the lady who's a doctor specializing in genome or something, she shows up. Because they're like, "Hey, his DNA is weird." Vampire wakes up, bites the guy in the room, bites her, and Blade kind of takes her in, and basically he takes her back to his lair with his guy called Whistler, who's the weapons manufacturer and support for him. They try to cure her with fucking garlic injection, basically.
I always thought, is that just some magical bullshit?
Some Parmesan cheese bread, a little garlic on it.
Yeah, but I was going to say, they trying to heal her, or are they trying to cook her?
Whatever. They're like, well, if you don't heal, at least you'll taste great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, essentially, like, you have like so long to like counteract like the poison that's put in the blood when they're bit or something. So that's
a plot, and it's like, you can know that the plot is that she was brought in because she's a medical scientist and can do some weird things and maybe move the plot forward. You can figure out like, oh, they got a doctor amongst them now, and she's working to figure out the cure for Blade also later on. And in the end, the plot ends with, you know, Blade's caught, they use his blood, he gets the powers. Terrible CGI ensues, like horrendously bad CGI. And his mom's not dead, alive. She's been shacking up with the vampire who bit her. Like, total. There's like this very uncomfortable sexual scene where the mom is like close up with him. And it's like, "Blade, you need to be this and that, son." And it's all sexual. And it's just
the weirdest thing ever. Because you're still human. Once they're vampires, they don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get bored after a few hundred years.
You're right? Like, why even is this mom plot in this movie? You just don't know. She could have not been there totally. She could have just died in the beginning.
I don't even remember that. Yeah. Like that like plot thread or anything like that. Yeah. And I've seen this movie a lot. Like, yeah, it's been a while, but I don't even remember that.
See, you probably deleted it.
That's where I'm getting at. They're probably just gone.
So in the end, the Black Doctor gives him some blue serum, which doesn't fix, but makes them bloat up and explode with vampires. So he shoots the bad guy with a bunch of those, and he just bloats up into this big fat thing and explodes. And the movie ends. I think they say there's a cameo of Morbius or something.
I cannot believe I've never seen this movie, because this really sounds... Really? Amazing.
Oh, it's
amazing.
Dude. Okay. Dude, we're going to set up a session. The four of us are going to watch.
I was going to say, it's like, we should just freaking watch it. Yeah.
Dude, I enjoyed that some more people than hate Temple it, Doom.
But I actually like Blade Trinity as well.
I like Blade Trinity. Dude, it's good. That has some of the best, like, Ryan Reynolds in that movie is the man. Like, when he goes off and says, like, you know, there's like, "You cock-sucking thunder cunt," or something like that. Yeah, I'm just like... Yeah. Wow, really?
Yeah, and then Jessica Biel is in there.
I'm very sorry, honey. But Jessica Biel in that movie.
No, my wife would be absolutely on board.
And the second Blade movie is actually made by Guillermo del Toro. So like a high caliber director.
So it actually got even better for the second
one? Second movie is considered the best.
Blade 2 is good.
Blade 2 is good. I know what? I don't love it as much as
you know what?
3-in-1 though.
So I want to quickly
hold on. Yeah, go ahead. We should do an episode on sequels.
Oh. Oh, geez.
We should.
You know
that
what?
Sounds like some, that Why sounds don't... like some foresight.
You know what? Why don't we do it next episode?
Yeah. Let's do it.
That sounds like a good idea.
Y'all will get that in 2 weeks.
All right. But here's I'll go ahead. That I don't take up too much of the time here. Wesley Snipes did his own stunts, and they were good.
Well, because he's actually a martial artist.
Yeah, because he could do them.
He's athletic as hell.
He's one of the first R-rated comic movies to be commercially successful. It is R-rated. They don't hold back anything.
Well, they did draw the line of letting the mom and son actually...
seal the deal.
So they held back something.
You really wanted that, didn't
No,
you?
I did not. I'm glad they didn't.
I was trying to think what aged well, what did not age well. Okay, so
that didn't age well.
What did age well? What aged well is fight choreography amazing. Mm-hmm. So there's like a weird part where he and another guy are just air kicking, not doing anything between each other, where it looks like a competition of who's kicking the highest or something.
Like,
well,
that's like a roundhouse.
Yeah, just a roundhouse. It's like, what are you guys doing?
It's like capoeira.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't need a backstory. They don't try to deep kind of his... It's very well fit, his origins. Like, short, sweet. The structure of the movie is really good. This is both aged well and did not age well. There's a scene in which vampires just put on a whole buttload of sunscreen and show
it's
up.
It's like SPF 6000.
Oh, dude, it's
6 million,
like, I don't know if you guys remember, there's a commercial in one of the RoboCop movies where it's like she puts on like this blue, like five million. Yeah. And then it has a warning that says might may cause skin cancer.
And just vampires just put it on and you're like, that's what's stupid and genius at the same
time. Yeah, they get like 15 minutes or something out there before they run out of suntan lotion.
There is some inconsistency of like one shot is like cinematic and amazing, and another is just like goofy, and you're just like, this is a little, the disconnect is there, but the other, some parts are really well made. The exploding vampire serum is, the practical effects are hilarious.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's not great when he gets puffy and moves. I remember that.
The string wire kill is one of the best things, where he has this like anti-vampire string, and this guy
it's
is like
silver.
Yeah, he just runs at him, and he just does like this whip around and stuff.
Whip. You're gonna watch this movie with us. We're going to sit down and watch.
Cannot wait.
You're honestly gonna like all three movies.
Last amazing aged well is he rips the throat off one guy and throws it at the next guy and then go punches it. CGI just does not carry at all. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, I mean,
there's
it's,
blood
it's
animation
late
that
90s,
you cannot.
Yeah.
Which is crazy when you think about it. Like with Matrix, you said like coming out the very next year. And how well they did the CGI in that film.
There's not a lot of CGI in that movie.
Well, okay, true.
Obviously, if it came out now, they'd have better CGI. Mm-hmm. But overall, it is maybe snipping especially the mother thing. It's just like weird. I don't know why.
Yeah, that was strange.
David S. Goyer, I don't know, man, what's wrong with you and your mom, but that's weird shit. But I still think it's cool. I still think it's a well-made movie. Very well paced. You're not bored at all. And it all fits together. So I think it's cool.
All right.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't mention this, so I'm going to mention it before I forget. You even mentioned the scene this happens in. When people think bullet time, they always think the Matrix.
Oh, yeah.
But in Blade, which came out before the Matrix, when he's outside with the suntan lotion on talking to Blade... There is a scene. Blade like pulls a gun and shoots, and it slows way down. And he just kind of goes.
Deacon
and you
Frost.
See the bullet just kind of go like this, right past him.
Your mother's weak.
They slowed it down to bullet time, but in the Matrix movies, it wasn't CGI. They had a whole bunch of cameras just went through the different cameras.
Well, they all copied it from Max Payne anyway. So.
Yeah. But they were firing real bullets in the Matrix? That's what you're saying?
No, bullets weren't CGI.
You said it wasn't CGI, man.
They might have been firing real bullets. I don't know. I was thinking, like, you were thinking, like, when they did all the slowdown stuff, like, no, that was, like, a bunch of cameras they had. But
yeah. So, anyway, this character that I'm going to bring up today is Al Simmons, also known as Spawn. Mm-hmm. And I have a pretty decent connection with him because my grandparents actually owned a chain of comic book stores in the mid-90s and, like mid-late 90s.
Damn.
During the whole bubble era of like everybody buying comics and some people were into them, some people just wanted to make money. So anyway, I was exposed to a decent amount of comics despite the fact that I didn't really grow up with comics. I grew up in a small farm town. I didn't even have access to comics, but they were like 30 minutes away in the big town of Topeka, Kansas. And, you know, every once in a while they'd give me some comics, and Spawn came out around that time. And so I ended up absolutely loving him like almost everybody else because it was made, the character was made by Todd McFarlane. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant artist. He worked on Spider-Man, not so great at writing, but really good at character drawing and design. And him and another group of artists broke away from like Marvel, might have been some from DC too, and formed a company called Image Comics. Mm-hmm. And Image Comics, like, they were, if you lived during that era, you knew anything about comic books, you knew Image was like, they did everything for at least a short period of time. They were them. And Todd McFarlane was essentially the king of them. And his, the main book and the most successful book was Spawn. And I really enjoyed that because that was also during the era where, like, you know, you're getting a little older and, like, there's comic books, there's video games, and you want, like, you don't want cartoons anymore. And you're trying to, like, prove to your, like, peers or your parents or older people that my stuff, like, this is violent, this is edgy. It was during that whole edgelord period of, like, the late 90s, early 2000s for video games and comics. And he's kind of your perfect edgelord.
You're right.
It's like everybody just wanted, like, mom, dad, take what I love seriously, like, you know, stuff like that. Or like you, you know, your grandparents didn't understand, but in this case my grandparents did because they had a comic book store. But anyway, Al Simmons is a pretty cool character. The backstory is that he is, like, you know, from the, like, worked for the CIA, kind of like Black Ops, Merc, something like that. And by the way, I'm sticking with Spawn, the original Spawn. There's actually another guy that takes over at some point. But I'm sticking with Al Simmons here. But he's you know, just some guy. And one of his big claims to fame is that he saved the president. And he did a lot of, like, you know, some undercover stuff, mostly worked with the CIA. But he started questioning stuff. And when he started questioning stuff, he... pretty much came under fire. Some people that just were like, no, we don't need you around anymore. And what happened? Like his, I was trying to figure out the name. Oh yeah. His friend, I think his friend's name was Terry. Like one of his best friends' name was Terry. And the CIA hires Terry, who's also known as Chapel, to go and kill Al Simmons. And he kills him.
And wait, what? His best friend kills him?
His best friend. Okay. No, it gets better. It gets better. His best friend Chapel kills Al Simmons, and so they think everything's done right there. Well, Al Simmons has a little in common with the Crow here, I guess, but he ends up essentially going down to hell because the dude's an assassin. Like, he's not. Yeah. He's like, they're in the concept of heaven and hell exists in this universe. And he goes down, and he ends up kind of running into a guy that's kind of like the devil, but his name is Malbolgia. I think that's how you pronounce his name. At least that's how I always pronounce it, Malbolgia. And essentially makes a deal with the devil saying, like, hey, if you come back as one of my Hellspawn, you can basically do what you want. You have to be my champion for my causes, but you will be pretty much all powerful. And he's like, yes, please. I want revenge. I was wronged. And so he comes back. However, he doesn't come back right away. He comes back 5 years later. And he comes back all messed up. Like, he's burnt up, doesn't look real good. And he ends up going and finding out, and I think at some point he actually can end up controlling like what he looks like, and I'll get into his powers here in a little bit, but here's the messed up thing. 5 years later, he finds out that his friend Terry, aka Chapel, married his wife Wanda and had a baby with her. Yeah.
Screw you, Wanda.
So she didn't know. She thought he was dead.
That's what Chapel did.
And she didn't know anything. She didn't know about, like, you know, Chapel doing all that either. So naturally he's not super happy about all of this. And so he's very dark, very brooding. And his actual job for Malbolgia is that he's going around and he will kill, essentially be a hitman or assassin for the devil. And he'll go around, he'll kill like evil guys. Like there's this guy named like Overt Kill or Overkill. I think there's actually some spelling thing that goes on there. But anyway, he's like this big cyborg thing, kills him. There's this guy, I think his name's Kincaid, and kills him. And he's killing these guys.
Why does the devil want...
That's what I was going to ask.
That's where I was literally about to say that.
Hey, okay, go.
He's like, no, just calm down for a second, guys. I know it's very exciting.
I'm enthused.
Yeah. So the reason why the devil wants him to kill these guys, because it doesn't make sense. It's like, well, what are you doing for the devil? And it turns out he's recruiting for the devil. He's killing bad people to have an army of hellspawns that the devil then use and manipulate, because these people are very easy to manipulate and use for his own efforts for the end game of basically defeating, like, you know, the forces of heaven, essentially. So that's kind of what he does. So it's good foreshadowing for how he got killed, because he started questioning his masters in the CIA and they killed him. Well, because he's not he's a bad man, but he's not a terrible person, like, in regards to, like, I at least have some morals or some ethics. So he's questioning, like, why am I doing this? What am I doing it for? Because that wasn't all divulged to him. And so now we pretty much get him into modern day, and he decides he just wants to hang out with hobos. And he makes friend with hobos, and he is kind of the champion for all of the people that are of the streets, pretty much homeless and stuff like that. And yeah, so anybody, he's kind of like Edgelord Batman, sort of, and hangs up. But instead of going back to a mansion, he goes back to his little, like, you know, alleyway, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And he's got a best friend that knows way too much about what he is and what he can do.
But wait, okay, so hold on. Does he stop doing things for the devil?
Eventually, there's kind of no. I'm trying not to get too far into that because his lore goes real hard.
What I'm trying to ask, does he like make an actual like good guy turn?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he like he tries to fight against like what he can or how he can.
He's essentially like an anti-hero, but right?
He's an anti-hero. He is an anti-hero. And also, I just wanted to talk real quickly about his suit, because that's one of the most iconic things of all time.
I love his cape.
His cape specifically is absolutely amazing. He's got this, I think it's called necroplasm, is what fuels him. And in the comics, you can see these numbers, and it looks like a clock, but it's actually anytime he uses his power, that necroplasm goes down. Mm. And so he's very much like Green Lantern, where it's just whatever you think about, you can kind of do. And he kind of goes towards guns and stuff a lot. In fact, he uses guns a lot, so he doesn't have to use his necroplasm. But when he can, and he can hit hard. But it's closer and closer to him basically dying and officially becoming he's full-time then servant of Malbolgia. Like, he's not come, like, he has to go fight for him or be a general in his armies or something like that. So it's always a constant battle of, like, do I use powers? Do I not? How much do I use? Things like that. And the cape is one of those things that they can turn into all kinds of stuff. In the game, mm-hmm. Soul Calibur 2, they is definitely a technological issue. Why they didn't have the cape, but they said the cape turned into his axe. He's got this double-sided axe.
Right.
And he's also been, I was going to talk about this, he's had a movie, which I did not like at the time. I did not like it. So somebody come at me with that. I'm sure somebody out there loves
it. I did like it. That was my first exposure to
it.
I liked it too.
What's his name? Michael Jai White, or I think his name is. I like that actor too.
Yeah. And he's a cool dude, but I just didn't like that movie. It was too ambitious for what, at the time, the CGI just couldn't hold up. They changed a lot of key elements of the story. They made it a little too goofy.
Violator!
Yeah. Like, what's his face? He played Violator. He was actually pretty... John Leguizamo. Yeah. He was actually pretty good in it. But yeah, that movie kind of like bounced around. Didn't look like... It wasn't as cool as what I had read in the comics. And I was particularly... I mean, look at that image.
I think you forgive some of the cape CGI and keep in mind when it was... I think the movie's still pretty good, but that's not what we're talking about. Go ahead.
As a kid, when I saw it, The cape to me then seemed very real. I wasn't thinking this is
shitty. Yeah, we're spoiled.
I wasn't thinking now, this is shitty CGI. I was just like, when his cape in the middle forms like a tank thing around him.
Oh, man. Me at the time, I did. Yeah. I thought it looked terrible, and it just took me out of the movie. I just couldn't get over that. But anyway, yeah, his cape's super cool. Mortal Kombat 11 actually had him as a DLC character, and they had the cape in there. And it was glorious, and I love that. Finish him.
Fatality. Spawn wins.
But yeah, pretty much as a character, he's definitely an anti-hero. He's very much an edgelord. I always thought of him as edgelord Batman. He's also a little bit Venom because his suit is even referred to as kind of a symbiote. And it can change into all kinds of different stuff. So, and also Todd McFarlane, if I remember correctly, created Venom. So I'm pretty sure he did.
Might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a few connections there, and that's also super cool because Venom's awesome, and he's So, I think he's pretty cool. I think he's very edgy. I would hope now that CGI, even our bad CGI, could do a much much better job.
Yeah.
And have a good movie version of this. Or even bring him back in like a lot of animated shows, adult animated shows, or like, oh, that's the other thing. This is one of the first adult animated shows I ever saw. It was on HBO. It won 2 Emmys.
Yeah, I saw like three episodes of it.
Yeah, it ran for two seasons and it won a couple of Emmys and a couple of Annies. And it was really good. And so anyway, love the character. I think he's great.
So do you want to just go in reverse, or we just finished talking about Spawn? We can all vote on Spawn and just go back to the start?
I think we should just go in reverse.
All right. All right.
Well, I mean, I'll jump all over this. I mean, this image alone is amazing. I don't go near as deep on Spawn as you clearly do. I've never read any of the comics. I've seen comic covers and stuff like that with pictures, stuff like this, and it looks amazing. My main reference for Spawn is the movie that came out. And then, of course, like I said, I saw an episode or two of the HBO series. And even just the movie that you didn't care for, I actually did like it. And I was like, this character is really freaking cool, the stuff that it does.
I need to watch it again because I can forgive a lot of the bad stuff a little easier these days than back then. I was like, this isn't my comic, you know, like
if I could look at that movie and be like, wow, this is really good. And you, someone who loved the comics, is like, God, this does not do the comics justice, tells me like, I should read the fucking comics. Because, I mean, just like I said, the images are amazing alone. So, I mean, like, I think it's easy to say. I think it's very cool. Like, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. For me, the movie, the backstory you told me matched 100%, I think, with the movie.
They're pretty close.
His comebacks is like, you know, the guy who came back and looking at his wife and like, oh, that's not good. You know, and the villains were cartoony. I think they were a little too campy. I think that's what was.
I love Jeff Leguizamo on the fat.
Yeah,
the clown,
it's like though. You have to like
I
accept
did like
it,
that.
I think. His cape was, I think, the most amazing thing because he had like a cape that would just go forever.
In the movie, they cheaped out and only had the cape in like a few scenes.
Yeah, when he's on top of the building
and he falls. There's this one scene where he falls down and it's all the CGI cape. And I wish somebody would just go and redo that. Yeah. Like, there's tons of people on YouTube who do that kind of stuff these days. Please, somebody go do that because that scene is awesome, but the cape looks terrible. To me, it looks terrible. As a kid, I think I was a little older. I was in my teens when I saw this, so.
I still liked it. I still like the deal with the devil, and then come back just fueled by vengeance, kind of thing. And obviously the comic book parts, which I was exposed to a little bit more later on after I saw the movie, when I was like, oh, so Spawn's a. I saw it first and I was like, ew, whatever, like Spawn. What am I gonna why did they name it Spawn? Kind of thing, is it supposed to be like Devil Spawn or something?
Hellspawn,
right? Yep. So I didn't think much, and then I saw the movie and I was like, oh, so the next time I came across, I read some comics, and I thought, okay, this is a very cool
dark character.
So your judgment anyway, is?
I think this is cool.
All right. I'm last, and my vote doesn't count, but I will say I haven't seen the movie. I've never read the comics, although the art has always gotten to me. I think it's just so amazingly detailed and so different from anything else that was out there at the time. And hearing how you describe this story, I'm always up for a good divine confrontation. Mm-hmm. I'm always up for a good anti-hero. You brought up like he's Edgelord Batman, and I do want to say Batman has to come up every single episode of this podcast, except last episode we forgot, and I'm really sad about that. And so there's no way I can't vote cool for this. I think he's just an awesome character.
Cool. I'll take that. Unanimous. He's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, he's cool. Official. Stamped. All right. So before that, we were talking about Blade.
Blade.
So I have to ask.
Give it.
This probably won't change my vote. Don't know if it would change any of your votes. But since you talk so much about the Blade movie with Wesley Snipes, are we specifically voting for
the movie.
Blade, the character, or specifically Blade, this Blade, the movie?
I want to put it to Blade, the movie. Because it's the character's still around.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's.
I have no experience with him from the comics. Yeah. So this is Blade for me.
How about Blade, the character that exists in the movie?
It's the movie.
Well, no,
the
if we're doing Blade the movie, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Let's just go with movie Blade, the first Blade movie.
Yeah.
The one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
because I want to bring it down to. If its character becomes too big to talk about
in
a timeline,
to me, it's not going
to
change my vote regardless.
This is
a
piece of history. So we're voting on this piece. Look at that guy.
I absolutely love Blade.
Yeah.
Like,
Then you take us off from here. Talk about how you love him.
Yeah. I was brought back for Deadpool and Wolverine and we walked in, I was like, yes! Because,
yeah.
I mean, like, I loved Blade. Blade 2, I wasn't as much in love with as the first movie, but it was still good. And then I really enjoyed Blade Trinity, even though most people say it's the worst one. I still really enjoyed Blade Trinity. And when I heard they were supposed to be doing Blade again with the MCU, spacing on the actor's name, I was super excited for that, too. Because it's like, oh, we get to see Marvel do it. But now I hear that that's like not even on their slate anymore. It's probably not happening. I'm just like, meh, cry. But no, I love Blade, and I'm knowing that you haven't seen it, Deuce. We're gonna watch freaking movie together.
I can't wait.
Yes, absolutely cool. Absolutely cool.
All right, I'll go next, and this is gonna be hard for me because once again, I haven't seen it.
Have you seen anything? What are you doing here?
I am a fan of movies. I will say my wife is not, and that kind of creates problems sometimes. But just want to say this guy also seems to me like he relates a bit to Batman. He's kind of like Batman, but cooler.
But he kills absolutely everybody.
Vampire Batman,
cooler. He doesn't have a rule.
Yeah. Here's the weird part. He can survive in sunlight, but all his enemies live at night. So he's also still pretty much the night Batman.
Yeah.
He has to go out at night.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Everything that y'all are talking about from the movie, from the character, it's just, I'm always a big fan of just enough cheese to be funny / also awesome at the same time. It feels like his character really balances that, kind of toes that line. Cool for me.
All right. I don't matter, but I'm also gonna vote.
You matter.
No,
your vote doesn't, but you do.
All right, I'll take that.
Speak for yourself.
But Wesley Snipes, man, he was born to play this role. Yes. He absolutely killed it. It was very, very well done in everything that I can think of, everything from the quips, the one-liners, the badassness, like the attitude. He's just one of the most athletic actors that ever lived, you know, also crazy martial artist, and just born for this role and just nailed it. Loved one, loved two. Three had the highest of highs and had some of the lowest of lows. Is like kind of like that was exactly what it was. It has its moments that I loved. Yeah. It was, I guess he pretty much played, what is it when you're an actor and you're just very much into your character and you don't come out of character?
Method.
Yeah, method.
Only method.
He kind of went a little method with the Blade movies. In fact, that's actually the source of the reason why Ryan Reynolds and him did not get along in Blade 3.
Dude,
is so, he supposedly a, there was a director that was told they have to address him as Blade when he talks to
yes.
him.
Dude, yeah.
The quips are not actually, their quips were just some random shit he would say to his entourage, and then the people were like, we need to put that in the movie. And then Wesley Snipes is like, nobody's going to say this shit. And they're like, no, this is so cool. We need to put it in the movie.
That could have been. And so for me, absolutely cool.
So, moving on to Cyborg.
Cyborg up next from Teen Titans, the animated series. What do y'all think?
I'll go first. I have almost no context here outside of the Zack Snyder movies. I did not watch Teen Titans. I have not seen Titans. I have not played the video games that had him in it. However, the character, when I first saw it, they didn't really give him much to do. He was just very unhappy and very emo. Did not like him pretty much. He wasn't
very opposite from the show.
wasn't a very likable character at all. However, they did have the Snyder cut for Justice mm-hmm. League, and that restored a lot of footage, which showed a lot of what you were talking about yep. with like what happened to him. And because he was an athlete, and he was like, you know, very much like very promising guy, pretty much extremely intelligent, athletic, everything. And then all that taken away from him. And then his dad, without his permission, saves his life and essentially binds him to all this like basically synthetic metal. Like that's his life now. And so you kind of get the understanding that, oh, yeah, he's really trying to figure out, am I still the person I am or I was? And who I was supposed to be? Am I something different? Am I even a person anymore? And I think, despite my limited exposure, that he's pretty darn cool just because there's so much like going on there. Like he's not like a one-note character. This is obviously somebody put a lot of love into this character. And, you know, sometimes a lot of great stuff is born out of tragedy. And his story is definitely one of those. So I think he's pretty cool.
For me, it's the same. I saw Teen Titans a long time ago, but I think by the time it was rolling out, I had already moved past it. I was more into Batman the Animated Series. There's the Batman of the Future.
Batman Beyond.
Yes, that needs a movie too. Ooh. Please, somebody Batman make Beyond Batman Beyond is a amazing movie.
And it's like this the Batman's this old guy then, and this kid breaks in, and then it's all training the new kid to become Batman, and that was really good. So for me, it was in that era. I didn't watch too much of it because I had by then for this kind of funny, quirky, and then still with real stakes. That's why I was asking how high were the stakes in the show. I had already was watching anime for those kind of things for my fix of that. So my introduction is, again, from the new Zack Snyder movies. The first time, first movie, terrible. I was like, this guy's, like, whatever. Obviously, with more backstory and everything, I like the character. Based on what you said, though, because I'm judging him in a point of time instead of just Cyborg as a character. Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it's cool that there's... that even then there was a nuance of him wondering, like, did he wonder if I'm a man or a machine? And all this
yeah,
things?
It yeah. came up a few times. Like, it was...
in obviously, a lot of, it's a kiddie
right.
version.
In like, a lot of aspects, it was your typical cartoon. But then mm-hmm. every once in a while, you'd have, like, a two-episode arc or a three-episode arc of, like, this actual story that played out. And you get those kind of themes and stuff from those.
Yeah, it's one episode. Oh no, our pool inflatable right. is lost, right. and then our the next pool episode inflatable. Is our aliens have entered the Earth through a portal, and they're going to destroy everything. Right. And then it's like high stakes all of a sudden, right? Yeah. So no, I still think it's cool that they incorporated those things. He looks the oldest of them, is all I remember from that. Yeah, and he was the funny guy. right?
He looks like a typical Hollywood teen. You know, they cast somebody that's that's 29 to play a 17-year-old. Yeah. That's Cyborg.
Cyborg's seen some shit.
Well, the thing is, and it sucks that you haven't really seen much of this show, but like the voice actor did such an amazing job of portraying the character. I think he even came back for Teen Titans Go. They got him back for Teen Titans Go.
The voice actor?
For Cyborg, yeah. Yeah, he did such an amazing job.
So I'm going to ruin your night.
Go ahead. I'm already
by
cool.
By saying that all three of us have never seen the show. same thing. I've not seen the show. I don't intend to go watch it. But I do have some knowledge of Cyborg from, you know, those movies. And then, like I said, from Smallville and everything. And then I remember, like, when I used to watch Smallville, I'm like, what's more about this character? So I'd, like, look up stuff online and like that. So I'd love to see the character done a little more justice in, like, a live-action thing. Because, like, even the Justice League movies, when they put out the Snyder Cut, it's about 17 hours too long. but at the same time, it's just kind of like I didn't think it was too dark and broody there, too.
You have to watch it like a TV series. Like, you just watch half an hour segments.
4 hours of peak cinema. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, your peak is much lower than my peak. I can't say much more than you guys already did. I didn't see it, but I'm intrigued by the character still. So I would still say it's cool, even though I've not seen the iteration you're wanting to talk about.
All right.
So
nice.
There's enough crossover for me that, like, I'll take your word for it that he was cool. From the stuff that I've seen.
He looks better there than the images I've seen from Teen Titan Go as well. So
yeah.
Chibi
characters.
They very simplified.
Very Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So the last one we're going to talk about is Bishop. This one is a little along the lines of like with Spawn. It's a little more adult oriented with what his storyline is, not as much as Spawn was. I guess I kind of Blade too. I guess yours was because we were doing the cartoon, but just the fact that he's so integral, but he's not a main character. It's kind of like he's saving the world from the background kind of thing.
Which, like, is honorable.
You couldn't get to where we were with saving the timeline without him. Yet he's not considered one of the main characters out there doing it. He's just getting his shit done and not getting any of the kudos. But I don't know. I still think he's pretty freaking awesome, and he needs to have his justice done in live action. But
all right, Andrew.
I have two words. If I judge him just by the mutant movies, I would say nostalgia, because he was kind of run-of-the-mill.
And that's why we're not doing the mutant movie.
I know. It was kind of run-of-the-mill. Oh, he absorbs shoot bags. It's not too much. Like, I didn't have any character depth of, like, Bishop being kind of, like, I guess maybe, why do they call him Bishop? Is it, like, because he's the coordinate for something?
Lucas Bishop.
Bishop, okay, yeah. But he's, like, the coordinate, kind of keeping the track of timelines and all these things. Was that kind of his retconned kind, like, you know, retro, give him more powers when the multiverse explosion happened in comics?
You mean with, like, the power of the
him? No. For him, like, knowing the timeline.
I don't know sure where that came in. When I was reading stuff on, I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I guess that. But I never knew him to, like,
I'm assuming it's kind of like when they have multiverse happen, and then they were like, who? And they're like, Bishop just has a sense.
I mean, it may have something a bit to do with Age of Apocalypse, too, because, like, he was, like, the linchpin that held that timeline together.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which is why he was, when they changed it, was able to remember this is what the timeline's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where it came in.
I'm very disappointed, then, in that we have the time police and everything in Deadpool that was brought up, in Loki, and then Bishop's, like, and they're still, instead of him pointing at, like, Wolverine is the anchor and the real anchor of the timeline, and Bishop's, like, not even mentioned. If I was just judging by the Marvel movies, I was just like, it's like any other, wasn't that memorable. I just remember the guy with the gun.
Yeah, he's a throwaway character in Days of Future Past.
But based on your thing from the comic books, whatever he was, that I think that's pretty cool, and they should absolutely invest more into, like, is he in X-Men 97? Is he in,
he's
well done in the animated part?
He's still kind of just there a couple times in X-Men 97.
Kind of just there.
Yeah, they still not, like,
just the cameo bulk stuff.
Of his story, mm-hmm. like that's really great to follow is in the comics or the few story arcs that he's in the original X-Men animated series.
Animated series, okay.
So yeah, Marvel's done pretty much nothing with him cinematically, TV show, movie wise since the 90s.
Yeah. So I would cool.
Okay, I'll go next. I'm sorry, but for me it's nostalgia.
Revenge time.
I think no, there's really good traits about him. He's got a good story. And I also think that, you know, he deserves his own time in the sun. I don't disagree with that. However, his power is absorbing energy, and that's all he's got. Like, mm-hmm. I can't.
Well, he shoots it back.
No, his power is way too late. I'm sorry.
He's got you should pull up some footage of him actually doing the animated series. He's got, not as lame as you think.
Yo, Cyclops, hit me. Punks. You're welcome.
It's not just like pew pew, it's like raining fiery laser death.
I don't care, it's just one thing that he could do. And not only is it not realistic, it's also completely like one...
Wait a second. You're talking about it's not realistic. We talked about Spawn?
No.
We talked about a vampire. Yeah,
but there were other...
Where did the realistic come up there?
There were other redeeming qualities that made me vote cool for this. But Bishop is
there's
just...
A Bishop action scene was right there.
He can absorb stuff, okay? Look, if he had more time in the sun, I think maybe my opinion would be different. But from what I've heard and what I've seen, it just isn't enough for me. It's nostalgia.
Betrayed.
Sorry.
Well, of his Teen Titan stuff, and I still voted cool.
Prepare to feel even more betrayed.
Oh, no!
Because... I absolutely agree with him. They have done, unlike Cyborg, where even Zack Snyder, as much maligned as he is, Cyborg had an awesome character arc, awesome story, and I have a connection there. Bishop, on the other hand, I got nothing. I couldn't tell you.
I literally just explained a big story arc.
Yeah,
for him.
But I've got no connection personally to it, and like you know, and I except for I've watched X-Men 97, but he was kind of throwaway there too. So they haven't really done much, and I've only ever heard of him in the like Age of Apocalypse. I'm like, where else has he been? Like all these other characters have tons of other stories.
He's in Days of Future Past. He's in Age of Apocalypse. He's in Extreme X-Men. He's in.
He's never been cool.
He's never been cool enough for Marvel to be like,
combo attack with Cyclops, yeah. Shooting him.
You
and
see
he's
that
getting
video?
Powered up.
You see that video? It's 2 minutes long. That's the amount of screen time he gets.
That's
in the entire series.
That's in X-Men 97 for one.
So cinematically,
also,
they've done nothing.
Also, he doesn't even need powers to fight. You saw how often he was fighting and shooting his guns and getting stuff done.
I can shoot guns.
Whatever. Oh my god! Like, I'm gonna change my freaking answer.
Future guns. It comes from the future.
Go ahead, finish up, Monica.
So pretty much, yeah. I have no. I've never seen anything in like 25 years or whatever. Of them doing anything very much with him. And yeah, his powers are a little bit kind of like, I guess he can kind of do stuff with time, I guess. And then, of course, like the kinetic thing that he's got, which I don't really know about. So honestly, until now, this is where I'm with you a little bit. He has potential.
Yeah.
He has the potential to be cool. However, Marvel or whomever is just going to have to prove it to me. But for now,
so you're saying for you, since you've not seen him live action and cartoon stuff used
anything
much, that
anything.
Makes him nostalgia.
I don't even know.
But he's fairly decent in the comics.
I got to take your word for it. I don't have any connection to that. For me, this is all nostalgia, man. I could go back and read those comics and be like, man, what are you thinking? This guy's still lame. So, but because all the evidence that I have personally witnessed it's like he's not, I wouldn't call him lame. He's got potential, but he's definitely got to have something cool going on.
Look, what I will say is thank you for at least not giving us a softball. I think Blade and Spawn were definitely like slam dunks.
Dude, there are people who criticize the heck out of Blade, okay?
Actually, I thought
I just did a good job is what it is.
I actually thought all of you were going
to
say something about Spawn.
I just brought a character that was extremely important to my childhood, and and everyone's like, fuck your childhood.
Yeah, that was Andy. Nice.
Not quite. Like I said, he's got potential. It's just somebody has to do something. Even X-Men 97, they had chances, and he was just kind of a side
character. Well, I understand why he was.
In a show that was
an
ensemble cast.
It's just the fact that he wasn't a huge character in the original animated series. So I get why they did it. I totally agree that they've been dropping the ball in the TV shows and the movies with not doing more with Bishop. They've just done everything in the comics. But yeah, no, I'll give you that they've not done well with him.
I mean, I know I said it's cool, but maybe if he cannot
do not revert you to the vote right now.
We did it. We turned him.
Yes.
If he cannot even make the animated series cut well enough that he didn't even make the jump from comics to animated, like,
well, he did. He's there. He's there.
That's his tagline, Bishop. He's there.
He's there, he's everywhere.
X-Men, mutants, and oh yeah, Bishop's over here.
Oh my goodness. See, I should have pulled up more of the storylines he's in. I just brought up one of the ones that I really knew and liked, but there's a whole article with all kinds of storylines he's in.
I just realized he's kind of Gambit, but way less cool. Because he's got kinetic powers. He takes energy and turns it on, like, you know, he can absorb power and then turn it back on. In fact, actually, they showed that in X-Men 97, one of the coolest fucking scenes of all time. Why didn't they give that to Bishop?
When they did what?
If he can absorb power and turn it back on something. I'm saying it's like when they gave the cool character of Gambit that scene, but they didn't give it to Bishop.
We could probably keep going on and on, but let's just leave it.
They just continue stomping on my childhood for the next 30 minutes.
I'm saying they could have. Like, I hope they do and turn him into the cool.
Doesn't the bad guy in the X-Men First Class also kind of in the movie also absorb the energy
in First Class?
Yeah,
the Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon guy.
I'm trying to remember who's his name. What he did when they put him in that movie. I don't think that's what he actually. Or maybe, I don't remember.
I just remember
he absorbs stuff in that movie, too.
I just remember him wearing that goofy helmet. It was like, that's Kevin Bacon, a goofy helmet.
Hey, that's Magneto's helmet.
It looks goofy on Kevin Bacon.
Well, regardless of these idiots over here that don't know good characters, and especially when I thought we're like, wow, we're going to have everyone agreeing on all cools for a first episode ever. Nope. So go ahead and in the comments, let them know how much they're wrong.
Or
because
right.
Bishop's a great character.
No.
And come back in 2 weeks to go ahead and give a giant middle finger to Mike because he keeps saying wrong when I'm trying to say he's cool.
Both the mics.
But no, he's already given you a preview of what we're going to have in 2 weeks anyway. So, but thanks for stopping by. I'm Jeffrey.
I'm Andy.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Mike the Deuce.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Later, everybody.